Thank you, Al. So we'll go ahead and move along. So yes, this is part two. Again, a different picture showing the infrared heaters in a hexagonal array, 3 meter diameter plot, heated plots. We have reference heaters, so there's dummy heaters to determine whether there's an effect of shading from the heaters, and an infrared thermometer on the dummy plot and on the heated plot so that we can control the temperature difference between the canopy of the two crops. And then, so this, again, just a different view of the kind of responses we get. So here's our target nighttime 3 degree temperature and our 1.5 degree. And you can see we get some deviations. Most of these deviations are due to wind. When you get high winds, you just can't keep up. But we did have some trouble with controllers as well occasionally. I think after a major rain event, there were some problems with the infrared thermometer. And we're actually still in the process of trying to decipher some of the fluctuations in the data, see what's going on. Okay, to get another thermal image to show, here's the 3 meter plot. You can see the heaters here. As you get an idea, it is quite, you know, surprisingly uniform within the plot. Okay, but of course we can heat a plot, but does it mimic natural warming? Because, you know, the goal of this is to have a way of simulating the effects of global warming on a small plot. Some of the concerns might be that the uppermost leaves are shielding the shoot apex from the heating effect, so maybe the temperature profile through the canopy is not representative. Okay, and again, the canopy temperature may not be representative of the plant temperature. The drying in the upper canopy might alter the crop water balance. Yeah, you might say, well, maybe there's going to be some kind of a heater burn, or the radiation from the heaters might cause some strange morphogenetic effect that nobody had anticipated. So again, here's the hot cereal experiment. we had, a total of 15 planting dates, and six of those with the heater treatments. The idea being to use the planting dates to give us an additional range of variation in temperature, so we'd have something to compare with the heater effects. Okay, multiple planting dates, the heater treatments, the agronomy that Gary's already been over. I'm going to be talking about leaf number data. And leaf appearance is very good to measure effects of temperature because it's easily observed, and we know that leaf number is very responsive to temperature. And so, you know, it's easy to talk about measuring temperature responses, but then sort of get into the details and what are you going to look at. So you might think, well, we have a response with the heater and a response with a natural temperature variation, and you'd hope to see something like this. You'd say our heater response is similar. And of course, this is just totally hypothetical data. If we saw a deviation with the heaters and we say, well, we've got some kind of a bias. So I say temperature responses are easy to talk about, but they're hard to measure in practice. Ideally, you should be measuring at a range of temperatures, but we can't control the temperature precisely in the field. You know, we're getting a temperature effect, but we're not controlling the absolute temperature, so we can't, like, do a range, say, of 15 degrees to 30 degrees. My approach is to try and get an indirect handle on the temperature response using simulation models. And so the idea is that you measure the response under different temperature regimes. Let's see, where's our arrow? Here we go. So we look at the modeled responses of the heater versus the controlled plots. Also, in our case, we have the planting dates. And we look and see how good the agreement is between the simulated and observed data. And we can use, of course, our measured temperature differences with infrared heating to adjust the temperature that we used in the simulation. So ideally, you know, we'd hope to see something like this, where our heater plots and our control plots, if we're looking at simulated versus observed, we're right on top of each other, and we'd say, okay, well, apparently the heating treatment is producing no bias. If we saw something like this, we'd say, well, there's a constant bias. And if we saw something like this, we'd say, well, we're really in trouble because our heater treatment is producing a complicated bias that we don't understand. The model I used was the CropSim series wheat, which predicts main stem leaf number along with several other things. So one thing to look at of particular interest here is that the base temperatures that are assumed are 0, 26, 50, and 60 degrees, and it uses a mean daily temperature, so it's not to, like, going to hourly temperatures or anything like that. And the leaf appearance ends when you get to the end of flag leaf expansion. And it's underneath this, it's got sort of traditional phasic development. So just to say that the model does, for some traits, works pretty well. This is a data set from an international winter wheat nursery, 34 locations, 29 cultivars. This is independent evaluation data and predicting day strand thesis quite well. So it's a widely used model and seems to be pretty functional. So let's go on to see what happens with the infrared heating. Okay, here's again another example of a plot where you can see that under the heaters, the crop is slightly advanced, it's taller, and also interestingly, in this case, we got dew everywhere else, but the heater was, the heating effect was just enough to prevent dew formation. Okay, so here's the raw data for leaf number for all 15 planting dates, and so some of them you'll see we've got three symbols. That would be the control, the heaters in red, and the reference plots. Remember, the heater's controlled by having this reference plot. And then the data sets with just a single set of points corresponds to the planting dates. You can see, for example, here in the summer, I think we had two crops that where we had essentially complete failures. The plants would come out and get five or six leaves, and they'd curl over and die. And of course, those were summer plantings when you would never grow wheat. I guess I might mention the normal planting date is December to January here. And you can see some separation on the data, but let's get closer in and take a look in a minute. Okay, the simulations were modeled, where the modeling was done based on the reported irrigations and fertilizations. I had to do some adjustments in seed dormancy to get emergence to match, and I have some questions about whether it was truly dormancy or incorrect cardinal temperatures. That's something I hope to come back to. And just a rough calibration for anthesis date and maximum leaf number. And then we looked at two situations for the weather data. One is the unadjusted, so ignoring the heater effect, and the other is variably adjusted. So we take the data from the infrared thermometers and use those to modify the daily maximum and minimum temperature used to calculate the average temperature. So here's unadjusted, using the unadjusted weather, so ignoring the fact that there was a heater treatment, or simulated leaf number and observed leaf number for all of the planting dates. And I think if I click on it, you'll see a shift. Oops, no, that'll come later. Oh, okay, so here's just days to anthesis with no adjustment and with the variable adjusted. So I think if I go back, so there's without the adjustment, and you get a split in the line, you can see that the heated plots fall off. And when I use the adjusted weather data, then my simulations fall in line. This is similar to what I presented last year, but with more data. So my argument there would be that, okay, of course, the unadjusted weather explains a large part of the variation. When I allow for the effect of the heating, when I include the heating effect on the temperature, it explains additional variation. And in the end, then there's no residual heater effect. So again, the argument here would be that the model is explaining, once I include the effect of the heating effect on temperature, that explains the vast majority of the variation, and there's no sort of unexplained heater effect left. Let's see, and you can do similar with the planting dates, though. And so we've got our simulation. And there's still a large this is the simulation with the variable temperature. There's still a sowing date effect. So we've still got some problems with the model on the sowing date, and there's a simulation by sowing date interaction. So there's something more complicated going on there. But let's go back to leaf number. So here's the unadjusted, and when I put in the adjustment with the variable, it comes closer. Let's go back. So it pulls down some of these, but we still have quite a bit of spread here. So let's go in and look in more detail. Well, that's a nice color effect. Well, I don't know if you can see it in the back, but again, of course, the unadjusted temperature effect explains a large portion of the variation. When I put in the variably adjusted weather, explains another chunk of the variation, but there's actually still a significant heater effect. So either the model's not explaining all of the effects of the heater, or there's something strange about the heater effect that we're not understanding yet. Let's take a look at them. So here's a case. Here's a 10th March sowing, later than normal commercial practices. And you can see the red line is the simulation for the heated plots, and the dark line is for the control plots. And you see we're getting pretty good accounting of the heater effect there. But we go here, and we see in our big problem, we start out, maybe arguably we start out okay, but we start to get deviation. And then we go up here, the model is explaining an excess of leaf numbers, both for the control and the heated. And the big issue here is this is a 29 September planting, which is too early for commercial production. And the plant is quite large when it's going into the coolest time of year. And so my impression here is that for this planting date, where we're getting cooler temperatures, the model is not handling the leaf appearance correctly in this time period. And the same here, so this was 29 September 2008, and the 8th December, again we see initially it's predicting quite well, and then something happens here and it falls off, and I need to go back and check this. We had a frost event, and that may be part of the issue. But clearly our big problem in simulating leaf number in response to temperature looks like it has to just captured more with the planting date effect than with the heater effect. So we've got some basic issues there. So again, let's see if, let me go back. So our variably adjusted weather improves the simulation. So taking account of the heater effect improves the overall one-to-one line, but it's not as not as good as it should be, and we need to look at it. So some possible problems with the CropSim series leaf development. One is the assumption of cardinal temperatures, including the shape of the curve. And from the data, what I'm seeing is we probably ought to have a slightly warmer base temperature and a curve that comes up more, more of a curve than a trapezoidal response. And of course, there's also the question of whether mean air temperature can possibly be appropriate in this kind of an environment. We're going to have large differentials between the canopy temperature and the air temperature. So I did do one run with a change in cardinal temperatures, and went the wrong way. But it didn't improve the root mean squared error. So again, I think more work is needed. So the infrared heaters did not introduce obvious artifacts in leaf appearance rate, but the planting date effects swamp the heater effects and reveal problems with the model. And of course, some possible causes are the cardinal temperatures, the use of air temperature. I mentioned the seed dormancy that the model assumes. I also have some questions there. And the crops may have had a cooler canopy temperature than the air temperature. So thank you.
We have time for some questions. Any questions for Jeff?
No.
I much appreciate your consideration of using other temperatures than the daily mean, because you know all biological processes respond to the instant.
The time
constant in some of those processes is actually much shorter than 24 hours.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think this daily mean issue is sort of put onto us by the weather stations we have in ancient times. So now we have practically online access, so I hope to see some improvement.
Yeah, well, that's actually, we're working with Robert Grant, who has an ecosystem model which does a full energy balance and simulates canopy temperature, and I'll be very curious to see. But then, of course, then you get the traditional problem. He has, I think, a more simplified physiology because he's doing very, complex calculations in other areas. So I think that's an issue. I should say, I wish Greg McMaster was here, because if you go into the source code, Tony Hunt, who developed this part of the CSM model, puts in a little paragraph saying that we went to mean temperatures based on Greg McMaster's findings that he could, he saw no, he did a very nice soil heating experiment where he found that contrary to what he expected, that it wasn't, that the crown temperature wasn't a good predictor, and that you might as well use, his conclusion was you might as well use mean air temperature. But I think Arizona may be a special case because of the dry conditions, you get a much larger air canopy temperature differential. And of course, one thing we can do right away is to put in the canopy temperature instead of the air temperature and see if that helps our prediction.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And that brings up a point that Jeff raised earlier about models. I think a lot of times, you know, maybe it's time to reinvent the models. And for some processes, we have hourly weather data. Why not use hourly weather data? Some things you can't do on an hourly basis, but, you know, transpiration, soil evaporation, many other things you can do easily on an hourly basis, and have a combination where you look at hourly basis and daily value.